Hey, Katie.
Yeah?
Want to make a podcast?
Sure. Can we talk about outrageously dark and scary things like murder and aliens?
Yeah. And is it cool if we talk about beautiful things like divination and astrology?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hi, we're Katie and Kelly, hosts of the podcast, All Things Outrageously Dark, Scary, Beautiful, and Totally True.
We recognize there's a lot of podcasts out there, but what sets us apart is our professionalism and dedication to our research.
New episodes every Wednesday. Tune in, and of course,
have the day you deserve.
You guys had no idea that we were going to be doing two back-to-back fire episodes with amazing guests, did you? Well, here we are with our second back-to-back episode with an amazing guest. Hello, everybody.
Guys, we're so excited, so thrilled to have the Kate Van Horn with us today, the author of The Inner Tarot, A Modern Approach to Self-Compassion and Empowered Healing Using the Tarot. Hi, Kate. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for our conversation.
We're so excited. We've been waiting for this for a while.
Mm-hmm. When we saw the email come through, I saw it and I believe I messaged Nicole and I tripped because we've been following your work for a minute. So I fangirled
hard. Here we are.
Yeah, right? Full circle.
Gabby's the biggest fangirl.
I really am. I don't even deny it.
Hey, we just like fangirls. I'll take as many fangirls as I get, and I'll fangirl right back. That's girlhood.
Love it. Okay, so we're not going to do any of the usual, guys. We don't want to waste time. We want to get every minute we can. So, Kate, what are your big three?
So I'm a Capricorn sun, a Virgo rising, and a Gemini moon.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of spice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Fast thinking, hardworking. Mm-hmm. I love that. Does that hit for you? Does that resonate?
It does. So I have like six placements in Capricorn, all in the fifth house. So my sun, my north node, pretty much everything besides my Virgo rising and my Gemini moon. So that used to be a really big part of my understanding of myself was the Capricorn, but actually in writing the book, I really embraced the Gemini. And I also have always enjoyed other people's like Gemini energy. I'm very drawn to Geminis. And then for Virgo, I feel like that's something I'm trying to harness more and look at more. Like I'm really intrigued by how my ascendant affects my chart. So that's like my latest study.
Yeah. And Jupiter is about to cross your Gemini moon at some point. So that feels, what do you mind if I ask what house it's in?
10th house.
Your Gemini. Oh, okay. So this is a big career year for you. That makes a lot of sense with drop of the book. Yeah. How exciting. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. I think it's so cool when people are able to do what you just did and like immediately understand like what's going on. That's so
cool. Well, I think it's so cool what you do and everything that you expressed in the book. And I can't wait to get into it. But do you mind if I ask if you were an 89 baby?
I was 92.
92. Oh, okay. Very nice. We're the same age.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's 90s so cool. Kids.
Yeah. Nicole was born in the 80s, and I think she thinks that's like the best era and decade. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I love the vibe of the 90s.
No, I love 90s vibes. No, like I don't really like 80s. It's just, it was just great because that's when I came into the world.
You were the gift of the 80s.
Yeah.
I was a gift. So, you know, that's why it was a great decade.
And I came in and just copied her. So.
Except for Dirty Dancing and Coming to America. Those were like the other really good things that came out of the 80s. Other than that, nah. Okay, Kate, what is your human design?
I'm a 6-2 generator, sacral authority.
Okay. Past lives, many past lives. I love that.
Many.
Yeah. And it's like endless energy as the generator and you just have that immediate yes or no. So
I definitely follow that. I mean, it's pretty intuitive, but I'd also say the generator comes through. Like I can't imagine being anything else. I know it's the largest, you know, population is generator, but I just feel like it's very clear when I'm in flow with my work, I just keep going and going.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it. Okay. And if you could give a reading, whether it's one of your psychic readings or a tarot reading or both, to anybody, famous, not famous, dead, no longer, or well, no longer living, obviously, alive, whoever, anybody at all, who do you think you would pick?
So like standard, but I have to say Taylor Swift, like right now.
Someone else said them, yeah.
I mean, like, it's a great opportunity. It's all mm-hmm. I'm gonna say. But I actually was asked this recently, and you know, someone who's no longer with us is the creator of the art for the deck, Pamela Coleman Smith. I would love to sit with her and read for her. I think know that I have the career I do because of what she channeled with the imagery of the traditional deck, and she really changed tarot for, you know, for what it was and really like modernized it at the time. And so I would love to read for her, although I'd be very intimidated.
Okay. And if, sorry, that's the last one. That's my fun bonus question. Okay. Before I get to that one, favorite podcasts right now or ones that you're really enjoying? We always like to get ideas of new shows because I only listen to 40. So I need to, you know, listen more.
So I kind of dabble based on what I'm needing to learn about. I feel like I'll just like look up, you know, the topic that I'm interested in. Like if I'm working through like hormonal health or something like that. I will say I don't listen to as many spiritual podcasts as I used to just because that's so much of what I do. My friend Liz is a podcaster, Liz Moody, and I always tune in because I learn something. And I've also been checking out a couple like different feng shui podcasts because that's a new area of study for me too. And I'm the names of them are escaping me in this moment, but I'm happy to send you what I've been dropping into.
Okay. Yeah, we'd love that.
And my last bonus question, because I always love the answers I get because they're so all over the place. If you could go to any concert of anybody living or no longer living, who would it be?
Oh, let's see. I mean, I really love concerts, but I feel like my favorites are the ones that are a little bit more intimate in setting, like smaller concerts are my vibe. Let's think. I don't know. Gosh, I wasn't ready for these. can I say Taylor again?
Yeah.
I didn't make it to Eras, so I'll go see what all the hype's about.
Did you get to go see it at the movies at least?
Yeah, I saw it. Okay. I'm a new Swiftie. I became a Swiftie like maybe 8 months ago just because
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, can I ask what drew you in?
Just the like seeing the work ethic, honestly, and the amount of attention. I was like, I really respect this. Like I had never been a hater by any means, but I just was like, wow, you are so in flow. You're so in your genius and you kill it. And we have to respect that. Women who take over like that, I just have to applaud. I'd go to Beyonce too for the same reason. Like I love them all.
Yeah.
I'm not a Swiftie either. And not that I didn't like her, just wasn't my vibe. I think I'm just like older, like she's a different generation. But I'm really into her ever since she started dating Travis Kelce. And I don't even like football or Travis Kelce, but I'm so invested. I'm into it. And I want them to get married and make beautiful babies. And Totally. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for playing our game.
Happy to.
Let's talk about this book. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this book that Gabby introduced, The Inner Tarot, A Modern Approach to Self-Compassion and Empowered Healing Using the Tarot. Okay. I have struggled with tarot for years.
Yeah.
I've struggled with, do I want to learn it? Do I not want to learn it? I've had readings in the past and none of them were very good or inspiring. They were all very doom and gloom. And I don't think I live a doom and gloom life. And so I just, from all those readings I had, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I feel the call to learn it. And then it's just so complicated also. And I recently bought a tarot deck and it's not the Rider-Waite, but it has the same illustrations and it's kind of like a baby deck.
Okay.
So it has all of the information on the card. So it tells you what it means upright, what it means in reversal. It's like a good way to kind of learn and just all of the things that you would need to know. So that was kind of how I was going to start learning. And so then when I got your book, I was like, oh, perfect. Now I have these two things together. And your book really breaks things down so easily for like the newbie. So for mm-hmm. the person that doesn't know anything like me. And I think, you know, Gabby's definitely a more experienced reader. And I think she probably got, you know, just as much value as I got yeah. from the book. Gabs, 100%. Do you want to speak to your thoughts on the book and then we can let yeah. Kate take over?
Yeah, for sure. I loved it. I just want to say that mm-hmm. from the jump. So well done. I was telling Nicole, I was like, you know, I wish that I had had this as a resource mm-hmm. when I first started learning the tarot, because I didn't formally train with it. That was actually probably one of those tools/modalities that really expanded my intuition. And you really speak to that in the sense of like, and you explain it so well, and it's so clear and concise and easy to digest. And I love that that's on par with like the aesthetic of mm-hmm. the book, like yeah. the colors, the branding. And I also really just appreciated it's your technique, like you're sharing your technique with mm-hmm. us. So that felt like, oh, like you read this way too, or like, oh, like I didn't know that this was another approach that you could take with it. So I really, really appreciated that.
That's so nice to hear. Thank you both. That is amazing and I honestly think that it is such a complicated system. It's very intimidating. Everything that you said, Nicole, is so true. It's exactly how I felt when I got started. And it took a lot of time and trial and error. And then when I started teaching my tarot course, I taught 35 rounds of a course on Zoom. So 35 different groups, I saw their reactions to cards and I saw their reactions to my teaching. And I was so into it and so kind of obsessive about figuring out the best way to teach them that I would rewatch every group and I'd be like, mm-hmm. I could say that better, or I could say that more clearly, or, oh, notice that question they had in response to what I just, you know, shared. So I was trying to like refine it over time, because I've read plenty of things about tarot that, although beautifully, you know, put, felt a little too esoteric or a little too out there for me. I wasn't able to like connect it to my actual practice. And I was trying to bridge the gap between like modern everyday experiences and these very like antiquated like themes and something that dates back so far into the 15th century. I'm like, we got to make this a little more simple. We got to make this more streamlined.
Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
Are you into weird shit? Yeah?
You into cryptids?
What about hauntings? Yeah, I've got a ghost for you.
Oh, you like overworld the beings.
Me too. Check out all these aliens. We have plenty. How do you feel about a good legend?
Want to hear about spooky happenings?
Yeah, you do.
Let us show you what we've got.
Hey guys, grab a drink and join us, Amanda and Sean, every week while we dive into the strange and haunting topics that have piqued our interest.
See you over at The Haunted and the Strange, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay spooky.
Yeah, definitely. And it is. So I remember the day I got it, I said, okay, I got to read this book. And I couldn't put it down the first night, but I was like, I need to put it down because it's not meant to be read yes. from cover to yeah. cover. There's exercises in there. Yeah. And I remember I was so excited to try that exercise, one of the first ones. And all of the cards that I pulled with the questions really felt like they landed. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting, because I don't think I had really pulled one of these tarot cards maybe more than once or twice before that. And mm-hmm. The fact that they felt so on par with the questions, that I was like, wow, okay. And yeah, it was just so good. And I started to understand it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. The way you broke it down so simply, I was like, oh, I could totally do this. Like, this isn't that scary. And I have this baby yeah. starter deck and, you know, it'll be fine. I'll be a pro in no time. Mm-hmm. I'm not a pro.
You'll get there.
Yeah. But so is that kind of what made you want to write the book, was going back and seeing all of the groups and people's experiences? Or
yeah, I had always wanted to write a book about something, but I never knew what it would be about. And then I fell so in love with tarot that I was like, okay, this obviously is what it will be. I definitely knew that I wanted to integrate more like embodiment practices and actual like next steps you can take in a reading, something you can do, an action, because that's, you know, that was really inspired by my readings. So the course was kind of how I describe the cards and how I break them down. But the practices are from all my clients who I would sit there and I would read for them and they'd be like, but what do I do about it? Like, yes, I feel seen. Thank you. But what can I do to shift it or change it? And then I had to get creative with that component of it. So it was kind of blending the two intentions together.
How long did it take you to write this? Because writing seems just so scary to me. The idea of writing a book is
daunting.
So much so that I don't ever want to write a book because it looks scary. And I'm like, I don't have that many ideas in my head to put on paper. So how long did this take you?
4 months.
That's it?
So, but it was how long I, you know, had from my publisher, like my deadline. And I had expedited that because the whole process was like 2.5 years. So I was looking at my pub date of, you know, 2024, and I'm sitting there, we're negotiating it in 2022. And I'm like, oh my God. So in that time, they need like more than a year almost to really do everything, get it printed, wow, get it ready. So I was like, what's the fastest we can do? And they said, if you can do 4 months, like it'll be February 2024. So that was why I chose, you know, to do it sooner. However, I do want to say that I had a lot of things kind of like roughly outlined. Like it was, my course is really in there. So that's so funny. I just hosted like a little virtual Zoom party with so many of my students from the past came. And I was like, you can probably hear me verbatim in these like paragraphs. And they were all like, yep, like that's exactly your voice. So it was a lot of just like regurgitating exactly what I wanted to say. But I would say this, the stranger part is that you're trying to organize it into something that's so big and so like so complete versus these like little moments of sharing online or getting a tip and making a TikTok. Like that's such a different way of thinking and creating. And the start to finish book was like, it was like a mountain for sure.
Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to say, I love that you said that it was just your students could almost hear you through the book, because I think that's probably what made it so easy to read. I would say the Human Design book that Jenna Zoe? How do you say it?
Zoe. I think it's Zoe.
I've heard it a couple different ways.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways too, so I'm never sure.
So the book that she wrote on human design, I felt was the same way, where sometimes you know, you pick up a book and it's so dense and they're using such academic language and it's like, ah, this is too much. And I just like a book that sounds like somebody is delivering this to me by speaking it to me versus me having to try to translate it all. So I love that. That was kind of the reaction from your students also.
Yeah. I have her book and I felt the same reaction. Yeah. I was like, this feels very easy and like direct, which I appreciated because human design is, talk about a system. That's next level.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Gabs?
I was going to say or ask, did you feel like this was like a birthing process of sorts in its own way? Because when we interview authors, it's like they go through like ego deaths. It's something that's really wanting to live through them with them as the vessels. And I would just love to know what your experience was like.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. It was all of those things. It was definitely a birthing for sure. And it was incredibly vulnerable. I feel much different now, but leading up to it was like so much anticipation and so much worry about making sure, like in particular, the part that I was having the hardest time with and really struggling with like imposter syndrome was the areas where I bring my own story into it. So the channeled writing pieces and some of the introductions, I'm like, who's going to care? You know, they're here for the cards. And I finally had to just like step back and realize that it felt so good and so cathartic to write those things that it's going to, you know, stick with some people and others are going to breeze past it. And that was where the ego death came in, where I'm like, not everyone's going to be obsessed with this book. And I was like, that's okay. That has to be okay. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's such a thing where you have to hit and connect with people at the right time too. So when they pick up the book or pick up the cards, you have to trust that they're on their journey, and whether it resonates or not, that's not really up to you, you know? And that's a strange thing when you're putting something you love and something sacred out there. I was used to that as far as readings. You know, I know not everyone's going to necessarily want to work with me, but this felt different for some reason and I'm not sure why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, one thing I did want to speak to was the structure of the book, I was like, oh, maybe this is like the Capricorn coming in of just the organization, the syntax, the cadence, which I loved. But I actually really loved your introduction and just the vulnerability that you shared, because that's not always easy to come out and, like, you know, share that kind of truth. But I really appreciated that. So I did want to make a note about that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Because I think, too, whether you relate to my story or have your own, typically we don't pick up a deck of cards for the first time because life is easy breezy. It doesn't have to be a tower moment, but we don't typically, like, find the cards in those moments of ease. We find them when we are unsure and when we're looking for something. So I think at least most people can relate to that feeling of, I'm just looking for a tool. I'm looking for something to make this a little easier.
Yeah.
And you also do intuitive readings. And then you were talking about the channeled, was it channeled writing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that similar to, like, automatic writing, or is that a little bit different?
It is essentially the same. Spirit writing, automatic writing, channeled writing. I put that in tandem with my psychic reading. So I find that I'm pretty clairaudient. That's, like, kind of my strongest sense. So I'll just be writing what I'm receiving. And at the same time, I'll kind of be clairvoyantly seeing or imagining it, but I'll prep all the notes before meeting with a client. And then I bring those to the discussion so that we can, like, process together. And that way I can hold space and I can, you know, as a human being, just person to person, I can kind of see if something's triggering something in them. And if we need to slow down, or if we need to speed up, or if we need to take a pause and really sit with the message. Because in some psychic readings I've been in, the person's channeling and opening it, and it's just flowing through. And I think that's really beautiful. But it also doesn't leave the dialogue or the chance for people to, like, totally comprehend what's coming through, or mm-hmm. take a minute to receive it if they need to.
Yeah. Did the tarot readings for you start before you did the intuitive readings?
They did. They did.
Okay.
But I started to get so comfortable with tarot. Like, I felt like even the fact that it was, like, physical, you know, I could shuffle the cards and feel them. It dropped my body in. And then I started to notice my other clairs were more activated. So over time, as I started to learn the cards, they would, like, speak to me. And I feel like some readers can relate to this, like, it becomes sort of this little portal of energy you create with the cards in front of you. I know many birth chart readers feel the same way. It's like just looking at it and having that tool in front of you kind of opens everything up.
Yeah, I would agree. I started with the charts and then I was like, oh, wait, there's a whole other component of intuition yes. that needs to be brought in. And then I realized that psychics are, I mean, this is one way to do it, but psychics are reading the dimensions and energies of the stars. So
yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
I did a card pull today before, and I've been trying to use one of the questions that was in the book of what card would like to introduce himself to me today.
Cool, I like that.
So that was the question that I asked. And I got the Death card.
Such an introduction.
And I was like, man.
I had a feeling you were going to say something, either Death card or Tower. Yeah.
I got the Death card and I was like, okay, I know it doesn't literally mean death, mm-hmm. but it's one of those cards, I think, that has a lot of stigma around it. And so, you know, this says upright, endings, beginnings, change, transformation, transition, you know, all really good things, but it's labeled as death and it, you know, looks scary. And I just kind of wanted to ask, what was your initial thoughts when you started and you would get maybe a card like this versus yes. how you think about these cards now when you're reading for yourself?
Totally. So I went through very similar to you, that feeling, that reaction of, like, what the heck? You know, why is this here? Like, I wasn't, like, a perfectly ethical, conscious reader, you know, and I like to let people know that when I first started, just like everyone else, I made the same mistakes. I was reading on ex-boyfriends and doing all the things that I don't recommend anyone does mm-hmm. because that was part of the learning curve. And I think that that is now such a big piece of my work and my book, is I want to get people out of that routine and that rut of fearing certain cards and reacting certain ways and starting to really embrace them. But that said too, I think with death in particular, like, the tarot deck does carry some shadow. And I really respected that about the tarot, because when I found it, it was during a time where I wasn't feeling great. I was having a hard time, and I wasn't just trying to throw like light and love on something. I was really trying to get to the bottom of it. So I think cards like the Death card, you know, intimidated me, but also excited me a bit, because I was like, we're getting into this stuff. You know, it felt productive. It felt meaningful. But I completely understand, especially with the image and with the name, why it has that reaction. And it's just a matter of us destigmatizing it.
Right. Yeah. Because I think that's part of it, is when you read it, it's like, okay, well, it's not bad, but the initial, the look of it, right? The look, the name, it's like, oh my gosh.
But I think, sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I just thought too, like, what I appreciate about it is like, you're not going to miss it. You're going to see it. You're going to stop. You're going to think. You're going to pause. You're not going to glaze over it. And when I say to someone, oh, something's got to change, change would be good. Change is really scary. We don't want to do it usually, because it's going to disrupt our flow, even if it's not the best or most aligned path. So we go like, maybe another time, maybe another time. I'll change another day. And the Death card is so blatant and so in your face that it's like, are you? Are you going to change?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I had mentioned in the beginning that I had had not the greatest tarot experiences in the past. And one of the very first tarot readings I had, I think the girl, and I don't know if I got the Death card, I can't even remember that far back, but I remember she said, there's a girl in your life, there's a woman in your life, and she hates you and she wants to see you dead and blah. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I walked around so scared and wondering like, who is this person in my life that hates me? And you know, did she pull the Death card? And that's why she's like, this person wants you dead. And I was just like, this is scary. And so I kind of stayed away after a while. But I thought today, I was like, oh, this is kind of a good day to have pulled that card, because Kate's gonna join us.
I'll help you.
Yeah. She'll talk me down.
Yeah, that's probably something that infuriates me more than like anything else, is like really, really unethical reading like that, and just the fear and the scare tactics to get people kind of sucked in. It's very theatrical. It's very dramatic. And it's what created all these stigmas and all this shame around the tarot deck to begin with. So when it came to my course too, like kind of to go full circle back to that, I wanted better readers in the world, you know, like I wanted people to know what this is about, because your first experience with the tarot reading is going to shape the rest of your relationship, not just with this tool, but with other ones too, like spirituality as a whole, divination as a whole. So it's important.
Is that what your course does? You kind of prepare new readers to go out and give offerings, or are they kind of coming in just wanting to learn how to read for themselves, or is it a variety of?
It's a variety. So I'd say like most people come in wanting to read for themselves. That was my intention too originally, but we get so fascinated with them and the storytelling piece, even if it's just reading for friends and family, I still want everyone to know what's respectful, what's responsible, how to treat their cards with care, and ultimately how to also like have boundaries, because that was another thing I had to learn, was like my friends and my family wanting a card pull and it just not feeling like the boundary wasn't set, you know? So it's even that we have conversations about that, because it's just important.
Yeah, I think the book does, and you do a really great job in the book of explaining exactly what you just said about the boundaries, and then like knowing how to cleanse and like work with the cards. And I even learned some new ways too, of just like working with the different moon cycles and salt and just working with your altar. So I really, really enjoyed that. And I'm like maybe 3 years into reading the tarot. And I remember I didn't have an experience like Nicole, but I was very scared of it.
Yeah.
For whatever the reason, just because of, again, the stigma and coming up as raised Catholic. So, but it felt like it was calling to me. So it was like, okay, like I need to work with it. And even now, like I will be learning the tarot for the rest of my life, just because of the history, the education, and your book also speaks to that too, of the history of it, which I really loved as well.
Good, good. Oh, thank you. It's a lifelong, I like the way you said that. It's really a lifelong practice. I'm going to learn new things about this deck of cards forever. And it kind of mimicked also, like before I started with tarot, I was on my yoga journey. So I was going through yoga teacher training and all of that. And that was like something they really expressed over and over again was you're never done. You're never at the finish line of understanding this practice. It keeps going. So tarot is the same way.
Mm-hmm. I was laughing, Gabby, when you were talking about the pieces in the book that you really liked and the ideas of like cleansing and salt. And I was thinking, well, of course you did, because that was a page that I bookmarked.
Of course. The same. Kate, I don't know if you know this, but Nicole and I were born on the same day, exactly 9 years apart.
That's so wild.
Yeah. I copy everything she does.
Everything.
It's out like, of love because I want to be as cool as her.
Not quite. It's really interesting. That's such a strange.
Yeah, two sides of the same coin.
Twin flames recently.
I could see it.
We had our soul contracts read and we had the same contract, the same everything. So she's like, I think you guys are twin flames. And I was like, that makes sense.
It does. It feels right. What's your sign?
Cancer.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We were born on the solstice, so.
That's incredible. That's
not
really
wild.
Cool. A powerful duo for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Gabby loves being told she's powerful. Okay. So besides being an author now and a tarot reader, like what are some of the other offerings that you do or some of the practices that you have? Because I love your page because you're always sharing something different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did a reel recently talking about kind of decluttering the home and a good way to rid the home, because I'm somebody, if somebody gifts me something and even if I don't want it, have a really hard time letting go of it. And you kind of spoke to that. So you're always sharing something new and different. So tell us a little bit about you as a whole and not just you as an author.
Totally. I think that really anything can be an intuitive practice. I think whether it's how you choose to feed your body, move your body, the types of relationships you keep, the way you show up in them, how you communicate, it's all an act of intuition if we allow it to be. If we get out of our heads and into more of that like spiritual flow and that connection to spirit. And I think the home has been something that's been always interesting to me. I just was focused on tarot, but I was seeing how after teaching it for so long and making that such a big part of my work, that the home and space stuff was really calling. And I started to wonder if I could read a physical home, if that could speak to me like a person's energy, because I believe it's kind of like an extension of our aura. We have so many memories and experiences here. It creates this imprint of who we are in the walls and the stuff. And then our decisions we're making are very subconsciously led, but very obvious, you know, like the clutter we keep, where we keep it. I just started to get really fascinated by that. So that's a newer part of my work. I did get certified in feng shui to add that element in too, but the bulk of my work is honestly psychic readings. Although I'm so proud of the book and I hope to write more, my client work is like my kind of bread and butter. That's my day-to-day, is spending time in session with them. And it's my favorite part, is like that one-on-one connection. And occasionally I'll mentor someone if they feel called to like learn themselves, work through their own psychic abilities. But yeah, it's a blend of those like pillars, but everything's rooted in this idea that we can feel empowered in our intuition and therefore we can live a better, more authentic life.
And where did you get trained? Where was your psychic school?
Yeah.
As Gabby likes to call it.
Psychic school. I've had a few teachers. I've had a few teachers and mentors over the years. Some I worked with one-on-one and they did like trainings with me. Others I worked with in like group settings. I'm happy to share like all of their information. I think that the thing about psychic school is I don't think it exists. I don't believe in certification for psychic work, but that's personally me.
So I have a question. Yeah. So in terms of like, because you're in it, you do this professionally, you study as a hard worker does and continues because it's lifelong learner, right? How do you separate yourself as a reader and just like, I mean, disconnect if you ever do, because sometimes it is a lot to like be in the work, do the work, and that be your bread and butter. And I guess just what does like you outside of the spirituality look like for you?
I would say me outside of the spirituality is still an empath, yes, but also a creative. I think what really like I love doing is problem solving through creativity, seeing whether it's like something I'm creating in my business or anything like that. I'm super entrepreneurial. So I just enjoy being like lit up and following those little sparks. And I think that, you know, maybe I can't paint a masterpiece, but I enjoy living very creatively and constantly coming up with new and refreshing ways. I like to challenge myself that way. So that is kind of how I show up in all areas of my life, even outside of my work, is pretty creatively and really centered around like, how can I make this more interesting and more authentic to me? How can this light me up even more?
Yeah, that sounds very aligned as a sacral generator with the fifth house stellium.
Yes, it's all creativity. And I think my inner child work has also led to that. I had to do a shit ton of it and get really in the thick of like freeing her from this responsibility and this feeling of everything that she had kind of gone through and letting her really run free and play. And I think just like playfulness even is a huge part of my life. And my friends will laugh, they'll come over and I'll be like, doodling on the couch, coloring in coloring books that are like Disney princesses. They're like, this is so ridiculous. But that, like, that's me. I want to let my inner child like be free. Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite Disney princess?
Oh, I love Belle.
I was going to say Belle. Yeah.
I just like thought I was her. Yeah. I was like, she's, you know, she loves to read and yeah, I liked her.
Yeah. She's a good one. So you might've been asked this a few times already, but Gabby and I both had the same question earlier, separately from each other. Do you think that creating a card deck is in your future?
I sure as hell hope so.
think that'd be so cool.
It would.
We'll buy it.
Thank you. Like, let's clip this right here. I'll send it right to my publisher.
Two buyers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got two. In full transparency, it has been discussed. It's one of those things where I'm so deep in the whole of tarot proudly that I can't compromise the art. I have to be really particular about that and the vision, because that's really all that tarot is. And what sucks is I'm not a visual artist, and I've taken a stab at it. I've gotten in there, I've tried to figure out how to do it, and it's not clicking. So I think for me, and to anyone listening, I'm kind of putting it out there in the universe, I'm looking for the right partner for the art and for the visuals, and then we'll get that to happen for sure.
We just did an episode that came out recently with a group of sisters, or two sisters, and they just also put out a book, and they were talking about how it kind of came to be and how they just kind of accidentally manifested it one night. And they were like, this is what we want. We want to have this kind of book, and we want it to be easy and seamless. And then a week or two, no more than 3 weeks later, it was sometime in that period, they got a call, and it was everything that they needed and everything lined up. And they were like, this is perfect. This is exactly what we asked for. Like, it couldn't have happened better for them. So I hope for you that it also comes nice and easily the way it did for them, because it was just packaged so nicely for them. And it was very seamless, it sounded like.
It happens sometimes. And I think my book wasn't like, it wasn't like the easiest thing in the world. Like, I had to write a proposal and stuff, but my process of like meeting my agent and so on and my editor was actually pretty seamless too. So I do trust that. I really think I wonder what these eclipses are going to bring too. I've been thinking that lately. I'm like, it feels kind of close, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I'm not as attached to timelines as I used to be, especially having done a project that took me so long. And I was talking about writing this book in like 2018, 2019. I was like posting on social media that I wanted to write a book about tarot. And I look back now and I'm like, thank God I didn't do it then, because I wasn't really ready. And it wouldn't be, I'm sure it would have been great, but it wouldn't have been this one. And I'm much more proud of this one. So I think, you know, just it goes to show that sometimes patience is everything.
Yeah, When I was starting, I have a lot of like beginners, introductory books on the tarot, but I feel like this is one of a kind in the sense of just like the wisdom that it offers, the insight, because it's also your intuition and your experience in having read thousands of people. Yeah. So I definitely feel like everyone needs to get it because it's so helpful.
Thank you, Gabby.
Yeah, I genuinely mean that. And because like at the end of the day, like the tarot, it's hard. Like, I mean, I still think even times I'm like, what the fuck is it trying to tell me? You know? And I feel like, you know, I have some readings under my belt, but I really appreciate just like the art that this is. So I know that it's going to end up in the people's hands that really are meant to find it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm hoping to, it like kind of sophisticates tarot a little bit, elevates it a little bit. I want people to feel really proud. The amount of women I've spoken to that are like, yeah, I pull cards, but I don't really tell my husband about it, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. And I'm like, why? Like, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's fun. It's a story. That's it.
Yeah. I used to hide my card decks and I didn't tell my husband either. And now I have
them all out. that's the feeling.
Like, yeah. He's like, okay, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm talking to my pendulum. Okay. I'm asking it questions. And he's just like, all right, whatever.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like not even a thing anymore. So you also recently posted a podcast that you were mentioned on. Mm-hmm. So are you a celebrity reader too? And are we BFFs now with the Vanderpump castmates?
We've watched that show for a while.
What's really funny is I've never watched the show, and I've told Katie, I'm like, truly, I've never seen this before. And she's like, you're lying.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, no, I've really never seen it. I watched it for the first time the other day because I was like, all right, I guess I should get familiar. But yeah, I've never been a big Bravo girl, but it seems fun. It seems like I missed a really big scandal. I know that. They keep talking about a scandal that
Scandoval.
But yes, I have read for some celebrities for sure.
How exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really interesting because everyone's in the same spot. Like, everyone's a little unsure and uncertain, and everyone has the same insecurities. And I've read for definitely some celebrities, but then a lot of influencers too, who, like, I think there's a little slightly different, you know, range there. And I'd say what's so fascinating to watch is how we're all like afraid it's going to go away, you know, like, whereas it's a very interesting phenomenon of like, at any moment, this could just break. And, you know, it's not necessarily truth, but it's fascinating to watch that like through line from person to person who has a community and an audience online.
Yeah. Actually, go ahead, Nicole.
No, I was just going to say, do you find that the energy between like a celebrity, an influencer, and an everyday person is similar? Because at the end of the day, we're all just people anyway. Or do you find that their energies maybe show up a little bit differently? Because I think, Gabby, you had mentioned that when you did a reading for an actress, that her energy was maybe a little bit different, like more present or confident or something to that effect.
Yeah, I would say that.
It depends on the person, but I've noticed like sometimes a little more guarded, understandably, you know, like they kind of want to protect themselves and it just takes a little longer for us to drop in. Other times they're super open to the point where I'm like, whoa, you are really putting it out there and that's fine. Like, I'm here for it. But yeah, I'd say there's what I've noticed, and I'd be curious if like Gabby's seen the same, is like kind of like a feeling of their energy is very much pulled away from themselves. Like, because so many people have so many opinions, it's also like, I really work on protection with a lot of people who are in the public eye because there's a lot of pulling, you know, strings, almost cords that they don't even necessarily realize are there. And that I can kind of feel like the multi-dimensional part of them that has been created because they're like being a little bit of everything for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's a really great description of that. And I definitely sense that in my experience. And that actually segues me to the next question that I wanted to ask. So you have thousands of readings under your belt and you've trained many people, which I think is amazing. What would you say about like the patterns that you see within your specific business? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have a lot of psychics that we interview and just psychic friends that we're so lucky to know and work with. And each one of their businesses is so different in nature and just what they see. So I'm so curious as to what your experience is.
I would say like trusting the ebbs and flows is really important because it's something our business cannot be. It's not like a constant upward climb. Like, occasionally I'll notice a month where things are slower and it's like, I needed that. I have to trust that like spirit was protecting me and my energy and giving me a chance to be creative for a bit or just be in my life, be present, not worrying about necessarily holding as much space. So going with those ebbs and flows and knowing that it's going to be really natural and leaning in when it's really picking up, like when it's a season of everything feels good, everything feels inspired, amazing. Celebrate that. But being present in the fact that it's going to change day to day. Beyond that, though, I'd say the biggest thing is not, you know, this is more advice for the business owners and the psychics who are offering things formally. I would say fuck the rules as far as business goes. Every single time, including with this book, every single time I tried to follow what was the obvious route for promoting or sharing, it has fallen very short. And every time I've just kind of leaned into what feels like me, it works because people mm-hmm. can sense that, and more than any other business. So throw away the business books, honestly. I used to read them all. I tried to implement it and like, it's not the same.
I love that.
It's just not.
Do you find that your tarot offering versus your intuitive offering, that there's a difference in the energy level that it kind of like takes from you? Because we've spoken with, like, for example, someone who is a psychic medium, so they're offering mm-hmm. either or. And I've heard it from one medium where for her, it doesn't take as much energy. And then we've heard from another medium where they said, I can't do more than maybe 2 mediumship readings in a day because that drains me. And so do you find that one is easier than the other? Like, do you have a limit on, I can't do more than 1 or 2 a day? Like, what's that like?
My limit is 2, but I bend that rule occasionally. Like, for instance, like I was just away for the book promotion. So this week I've done more 3-a-days than I usually do, but I try to be really consistent with maintaining just 2 a day. But that said, I will notice that sometimes I've done days where I just hit flow state and I'll crank out 4 and then I'll take 2 days off or 1 day off or something. And that's nice as well. So that can change. As far as the type of reading, I would say tarot readings used to be easier and psychic readings were much harder. But I think I've really refined my process enough that I can tap into the psychic readings and they don't feel as draining as they used to. And oddly enough, the tarot readings are starting to feel a little more daunting to me because I don't have as much of that like intimate kind of relationship with the energy going into it. It's more just feels a little bit more like problem solving or like coaching, you know, with the mm-hmm. cards, which is fun, but it's different. So I notice myself, my psychic readings are more popular because I infuse the tarot with it. The card deck is still there. I just bring a little bit more of my channeling process.
Yeah. Do you think it's harder now that you're years into the work to read for yourself personally?
I can barely read for myself anymore.
I had the same experience. Yeah.
I'm wild. Just like, I don't know. And it kind of makes me sad sometimes because I'm like, I miss those moments. And I will say if I really go through a process of grounding and really take my time and I set very clear intention, I go through the whole ceremony of it all, I'll have a really good card pull. Like it will really land and I'll feel the presence of my guides. But I remember when that used to be like almost everything I drew from the deck was like surprising and exciting. And now I feel like I'm just like constantly confused. So I think my favorite thing is to have like other people pull for me, but I take the message, you know, they don't have to necessarily explain it, especially like my fiance will pull a card for me often. And it's just the fact that he did it for me, I think gets me out of my head a little bit.
Yeah. What would you recommend to the newbie, AKA someone like me, who is just trying to dip their toes and not overwhelm themselves with just, you know, these 78 cards and trying to remember all the meanings? How would you suggest they kind of get started? Would it be 1 card pull a day? Would it be like a 2 card spread, 3 card spread? Like, what would you say would be the best way to go about it?
I think true newbie, like completely fresh to the practice, I think a card a day is plenty. I think taking a moment to sit with it first and to see what comes through for you intuitively, what you sense from it before you look it up is very helpful. It really validates how much you were already able to like pick up from the card. But beyond that, I think for some people, even 1 card a day is a lot. So in that case, I would say break it up, go by the sections of the deck and begin with like the earth element because it's the most 3D, the pentacle suit, and just start to study that. play with that only and see from those 14 cards and then move on to the water element, the cup suit, and so on. Because I remember, especially the major arcana was like so hard for me to really connect with in the beginning. And the other cards were a little easier to begin with. So that's another option. If you want to like work through almost a study guide of the cards or my book, begin with one suit, one element, really immerse yourself in it, and then move on to the next, because you're going to see the contrast in energies too.
Would you say to pull a card from those 14 to start with, and then until you kind of, okay.
Totally. I'm a big fan of like consolidating your deck. Like I have many times only taken out the major arcana cards and done a reading just like that. Other times I've done, you know, what we just said, I've taken out court cards, like make it work for you. Make it flexible for you.
I love that because it doesn't feel so rigid and it has to be done this way. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, I've always kind of wondered with tarot too, well, should I be pulling from the major arcana and then one from each? Like I just didn't know how it worked. And that's why I just kind of stayed away because it just felt so overwhelming. But I kind of like that idea of let's stick to 14 for a little bit see what comes up. And then it'd be really interesting if the same cards are coming up also, because that tends to happen, you know, with the Oracle decks where you might be pulling the same card. I know for a while I was pulling the same card from the same deck almost every time I pulled. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like I got the message, you know, and then now I haven't really seen it very often because I think they made themselves known to me.
Yeah.
So it'd be really interesting to see, you know, is the same card coming up for you multiple times as you're in that period of learning about it.
Totally. No, that it will get very repetitive in a way that's going to help you. It's going to make you finally like learn them and have them stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kate, how many tarot decks do you have?
I used to have so many more. I've been giving them away. Like when I have retreats or workshops, and not so much recently because I've given so many away. I would say right now I have about 25. But that collection used to be a lot bigger.
Wow. What's your go-to?
My go-to for clients is the Fountain Tarot or the Aquarian Tarot. Those are my top two. For myself lately, it's Mother Peace, and I've been having like a reconnection to the Wild Unknown.
I'll have to check them out, Nicole.
How many tarot decks do you have, Gabs?
I have two.
Oh, perfect.
I have the OG. Yeah, I have like 14 decks all around. But I have two. I feel like because I started off with the Rider Waite, and that one just does not lie. Like it hits every time. And I feel like I'm cheating on it if I get additional checks.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just stick to what is tried and true.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I feel like too, for me, like I really only have six decks that I actually like trust and want to work with. The others, what I enjoy about having like, you know, a handful of others is I get to watch when other people come to my home, what they're drawn to. So like they might pick something else up off the shelf. And it's just so funny that like what doesn't work for me works so well for them. And I would say too that I use it sometimes simply to reference art. So not to actually pull cards or like channel with, but just to like learn from. They're kind of just a resource for that.
So we know that you're going to have a very big year because Jupiter's rolling through your 10th house of career over that natal moon.
Man.
We like to manifest on this show. And we have had some manifestations come through and true on camera when we interviewed the Common Mystics. So I would like to know where you just see your practice going, what you see coming for you. Just, we want to know what you're working on so I can continue and we can continue to fangirl.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, that's really, first of all, like what a beautiful thing to hold space for that like verbal manifestation, publicly saying it, because that makes a world of difference in manifesting, as we all know here. It really does, like to say it and to declare it. You know, because we already talked about it, I do really want a tarot deck to come through soon and to have it be a beautiful complement to the inner tarot. Beyond that, though, I have another idea for a book that revolves around the home and setting ritual through the home. So fingers crossed I can get both of those to fruition and then we'll see. But those two are top of mind.
Love it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Kate, would you be willing to do our card pull for us before we
Is it for you two or for the collective?
Like, it's just for the collective. Just, yeah. Oh, okay. Just okay. Whatever comes up and whatever message comes through. Oh my gosh, the last one brought me to tears. So I can't keep crying on this show.
Oh, I say yes, you can.
Oh gosh.
Are you using the OG deck?
I am. Yeah. Which is funny because I don't usually, but
it's just, it hits every time.
Okay. So it's a little deep. I have the Five of Cups, the Six of Cups, the Justice card. It's okay to mourn the versions of you that you had to let go of. It's okay to be sad or to be mourning and grieving some of the parts of you that it feels unfair to let go of too. So someone or anyone listening, if there are elements to life that are testing your ability to move forward in truth, it's still okay to recall the parts that don't feel as truthful or don't feel as authentic anymore and wish that they could be a part of the forward motion. You know, it's a little bit of each. What do you think of that?
I'm so impressed at how you got that quickly. You're like really good at reading tarot, right?
Done it a little bit. And that, to be fair, someone else could look at these three cards and see something totally different. But I loved the idea of like the Justice card being, I'll break it down a little so people can hear how I got here. But the Justice card being the Major Arcana card, it's kind of the most adult-like, right? It's the most serious of the three cards because it's a major archetype. And the Justice card is about fairness and about finding and discovering truth and being very black and white in our thinking and clear and decisive around it. So anyone could have made a decision that was right for them and best for them and did that because it was the wisest choice. And it's still okay to have a lot of feelings that are complicated and unfamiliar or heavy despite making that decision. So that's kind of where I pieced it.
Kaz, what would your interpretation have been?
I feel personally attacked, so I don't know that I have an answer. I was like, oh, if that hits.
I might have been reading Gabby.
I feel read for filth in the best way.
Perfect.
My goodness. Yeah. Okay, so everybody can find Kate on Instagram. That's kind of the main one I think that we usually – are you on TikTok?
I am. I'm on TikTok.
Do you do the tickety talk? Okay.
We don't. Yeah, really especially if you want to learn cards, I much more teach the cards there. I keep it pretty niche.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Maybe I need to jump on TikTok more.
We should.
Yeah. It just, you know, okay, you guys, confession time. I was going to do a story on it and I forgot. The last time I jumped on TikTok because, Kate, I listened to the episode that Dana and Katie did and the one that you shared and they were talking about Risa Tisa. And I was like, who's this Risa Tisa person? Have you watched it?
No, I didn't watch it. I mean, that's a time commitment, isn't it?
I got sucked in over 2 days and that's all I did while I was getting ready before I was going to bed, in between clients at work. All I did was watch Risa Tisa, and this is why I can't do TikTok because I get sucked into things quickly.
It'll get you. I feel like maybe that whole thing is what I need to watch when The Bachelor ends because what am I going to do? Mm. So,
and you can do it on 2x speed, so that helped me.
That helps, yeah.
And someone said they did the math and that it was, I don't know, like 7 hours worth.
That's so wild.
And I watched all 51 parts or whatever it was. Anyway,
I mean, once you get to a certain point, you got to just finish it out, right?
Well, I felt that way after part two. And the next day, I'm like, my husband's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm on part 41. Like, just leave me alone a little bit.
I love that.
So thanks to Dana and Katie for that because, yeah, so then I had to go back and actually finish their episode the next day because I couldn't give up Risa Tisa.
So funny.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys can find Kate on Instagram. You can find her on TikTok where you can learn more about the tarot. You guys have to pick up this book. And I know a couple of people had messaged us about the book.
There it is.
When we posted about it. And I think they looked and it wasn't available yet. But you guys, it's available now. It's so good. And I would say, again, like it isn't something you maybe necessarily have to read cover to cover. Definitely read the part one, definitely read all of that, you know, from page one to page 74. And I think the other parts are kind of nice because you can always go back to them too. Like it's set up to almost be a guidebook to where it's like, okay, I can read like, what is the Seven of Cups mean? What is the Four of Swords mean? And it's all in there and it's broken down so nicely. It's really good. So if you're someone like me who gets easily overwhelmed, you can break it up that way. And if you're someone like Gabby who doesn't, you're going to finish it in a day.
you still need it. Honestly, there's so much there for me too. I'm by no means, do I consider myself a seasoned tarot reader, but I still learned so much from reading the book.
Thank you. Thank you both. Mm-hmm. I love it. I need you in my back pocket for all this like promo.
Come back anytime.
We'll be your hype women. Thank you guys keep an eye out. Maybe there's going to be a beautiful tarot deck coming out and we're going to put that out there for her.
We'll use it as our card pool at the end of the show.
We have manifested. Yeah, someone wanted to manifest getting married and, you know, now they're engaged. So,
amen. And mm-hmm. so it is.
So we're going to put it out there. She's going to get her tarot deck. All right. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes for all the places you can find Kate. Check out her book and book a reading.
Book a reading.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.